Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, before we start the show, let's talk about our Amazon link at bobseska.com. Whether you're shopping for supplies to get you through the pandemic, or if you're buying music by one of our excellent indie bands, don't forget to use our Amazon link just beneath the logo at bobseska.com. Our special link will take you to the front page of amazon.com where you can go shopping until you're dropping. And by doing so through our link, we receive a teeny tiny commission on some of your purchases. Thanks for shopping through our Amazon link. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I can't believe this. What a dope. Excuse me, I'm sorry. This is kind of embarrassing, but there's no toilet paper over here.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I just forgot to check. So if you could spare some.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
No, I'm sorry, I can't spare it.
You can't spare it?
No, there's not enough to spare.
Well, I don't need much. Just 3 squares will do it.
I'm sorry, I don't have 3 squares. Now, if you don't mind.
3 squares? You can't spare 3 squares?
No, I don't have a square to spare. I can't spare a square.
Well, is it 2 ply? Because if it's 2 ply, I'll take 1 ply. 1 ply. 1 puny little ply. I'll take 1 measly ply.
Look, I don't have a square, and I don't have a ply. No, 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 don't pull. I beg you.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of those days because the power went out here temporarily and then everything gets discombobulated. So stand by for action. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 9, 2020, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 1176 of the Trump crisis, 209 days until the 2020 presidential election, and it's the Goth Ninja! David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex, from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report, and Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com, and also at sexyliberal.com. Okay, hello. Hello, Goth Ninjas. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Hi. What's happening?
Not dead yet.
I'm not dead yet.
Yes, we're all still alive.
I was mostly dead all day, but...
you know what? Here's the thing. I finally went and did it. I cut my own hair.
It's such a bad idea. Don't do it, people.
Sorry.
Just wait.
I did it using a beard trimmer. And I got it's bad results. I should never have done that. I was momentarily like, oh yeah, I can do it with a beard trimmer. I have a beard trimmer back when I used to have a beard. I still have it laying around, and so I plugged it in, charged it up, and I tried to cut my own hair, and oh God, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
Now you look like JoJo the Monkey Boy.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. I feel like JoJo the Monkey Boy. You know, in the movie Fury Road, when Mad Max gets his hair cut by those crazy war babies, that's kind of how my hair looks right now. I've kind of got that Mad Tom Hardy and Mad Max haircut where it's just there's weird tufts. I now have this crappy haircut that I should never have done myself. I should have just waited and let my hair grow. That was a horrible mistake. So my advice to all of you listening is don't try to do it yourself unless you know what you're doing. Yeah, yeah.
Never, ever. Trust me. I called my hairdresser at 2:30 in the morning and she picked up the phone without even this pre-call waiting. She was just like, what did you do? She's like, who is it? I was like, it's David Ferguson. She's like, you're smarter than this, David. And she's like, meet me at the salon at 11 a.m. I'll work you in. But there wasn't much to do at that point because it was bad.
Yeah.
So, really, don't do it, folks. Like, don't take your hair into your own hands.
I've been cutting my bangs for years.
Well, I mean, that's different. That's something on the front of your head that's a vertical or horizontal thing that you can do and see in the mirror.
Yeah.
It's the sides and back of your head. And
I used to cut the back of my hair, but I just pull it forward and cut it.
I would say that's even a little bit easier to do than using clippers to shave your hair down the way I normally get my hair cut.
What were you thinking?
I don't know.
You look like Ice-T now. Do you have like a groove down the side?
I'm telling you, it's the space madness. I'm going nuts. That's the problem. It's the isolation. I predicted this. I think at some point soon, people are just going to start to go bananas and do crazy things. On that note, let's do this.
Do you wake in the morning with head hurting because you can't think?
The virus.
A lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat.
Do big words spoken by people wearing white lab coats cause you to lose basic motor skills?
You know, in April, supposedly it dies with the hotter weather.
If so, then you may be suffering from MSMD, medical and science mental dysfunction.
Typically, that will go away in April.
We're in great shape though.
But now there is hope, because now Haxo Grift Crime announces Imbasol.
And I hope they use the hydroxychloroquine.
Take two tablets of Imbasol and the fear you have a lack of knowledge of science and medicine miraculously disappears.
But I hope they use it, because I'll tell you what do you have to lose?
You'll still have a complete lack of knowledge of science and medicine, but the fear of that ignorance will go away.
So we chose Imbasol to help keep us ignorant.
With Imbasol, you don't have to worry about precise tests, peer-reviewed studies, clinical trials, or staring at an eclipse. You're fine.
They'll say it again. What do you have to lose?
You're an imbecile.
I take Imbasol in the morning, and I can spend the day laughing at people that think they're smart.
Take Imbasol today.
Then there'll be a lot of death, unfortunately.
Because science is for people who think too much.
Don't stop taking Imbasol just because your doctor told you to, as this may increase your risk of recovering. People who take Imbasol run a slightly higher risk of stepping on a rake, slipping on a banana peel, or watching Sean Hannity. Do not take Imbasol if you are pregnant, as this will increase the chance that your baby will become involved in Scientology. Before taking Imbasol, tell your doctor that he is very low energy, a loser, and has lousy ratings. Help protect yourself from another lapse into reality. Ask your hillbilly rally crowd about Imbasol.
Rocky Mountain Mike, Mary in Ann Arbor with Imbasol. Another classic right there. Okay, so Bernie Sanders dropped out yesterday. Are you guys aware of that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that was...
And I thanked him for that. That was good. It was the right thing to do.
It's 2020. Any fucking thing could happen any minute.
That's true.
You know, at this point, I mean, did you guys hear about the forest fire at Chernobyl?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's I actually put that on the list of things we're talking about today. Yeah.
I was going to say, if any of you have giant radioactive forest fire on your end of the world bingo card.
Yeah. So Joe Biden is now officially the presumptive Democratic nominee. But let's talk about vice presidential possibilities at this point.
I do want to say one thing about Sanders. I mean,
sure.
I appreciate him taking, you know, not dragging this out all the way to the convention. And I think he's, you know, he put on his big boy britches.
Yeah.
But I also was relieved just for, I mean, even though I don't necessarily like agree with the intensity with which some of his supporters harangue other people, but I mean, I didn't want to see him out on the campaign trail at 70 plus years old after having a heart attack earlier in the year with COVID-19 rampaging around. So I'm kind of relieved because I'm really concerned just about like how old everybody in this race is. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I think he should also start talking to people about cabinet positions. And then if they accept that, should he become president, they should start being surrogates for him going, look, he's tagged me to be the Secretary of Defense, or he's tagged me to be HHS, or he's tagged me to be this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
So they can go out and we see who he's going to hire potentially for his administration. That also will put people at ease.
Yeah.
Because he can have a nice coalition of your lefty lefties and your moderates in his cabinet, and then the VP pick is super important, obviously.
Right.
But
who do you guys want for VP?
I like the governor of Michigan.
She also delivered the response to the State of the Union, which led me to believe that maybe the party's also considering her too, getting her some exposure nationwide on national
television. And
Michigan
is an important state.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. But I know a lot of Michiganders is that what it is? Michiganders?
Michiganders, I believe.
Yeah, a lot of Michiganders.
Good for the Michigoose, it's good for the Michigander.
Exactly. Yes, and all of you Michiganders, please write all of your complaint letters to David Ferguson, care of Facebook.
Yes.com.
And so.
At Twitter. Write him at Twitter.
Yeah, yes, please write to me at Twitter. I'll be sure and get right to that.
Yeah, but a lot of Michiganders aren't really into the idea of letting go of
losing
their governor,
her.
Right, because they were with Rick Snyder. And then finally.
Like they removed Detroit's autonomy. They like appointed an emergency. They're like, sorry, your city government is out. We're going to privatize your rainwater and the air in your lungs. Fucking Tea Party people.
Well, so, I mean, for the longest time, I was thinking, and in fact, I had gamed this out in my head at some point. I said, well, you know what? It seems like it could be Elizabeth Warren, because Elizabeth Warren brings the some progressives with her. Mm-hmm. And I think that will benefit the Joe Biden campaign to reach out to the progressive wing of the party. But at the same time, I'm starting to lean heavily toward Kamala Harris again as a very, very strong possibility. I did not know that Jim Clyburn, after his endorsement of Joe Biden that swung all of those votes to Joe Biden in South Carolina, I did not know, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong in this, Jim Clyburn recommended to Joe Biden that he choose an African-American woman as his vice presidential running mate in that same series, that same news cycle of about 24 hours. And if that is actually the case, I think it's a pretty good shot that Joe Biden's going to choose an African-American woman. I think he will. Yeah.
Val Demings is a good choice.
Yes.
Hello, Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams, at this point,
I'm not really, like, I don't necessarily, as badly as Kemp is fucking this up, and as much of an ass clown as he's proving to be, I think it's proving to the state of Georgia conclusively that we should not have let the Republican Secretary of State preside over the election for governor that he's running in.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, you know, I think if she ran again, she could probably take it.
Aaron Blake at the Washington Post put together a list of 11 possibilities. So let's run through some of these. And we've already discussed Kamala Harris and Stacey Abrams, and they're certainly both on the list. But at number 11, Aaron Blake suggests Susan Rice. He said that this may be the most outside the box name on the list, but she's got the resume. However, she is a gigantic lightning rod.
She's polarizing.
Yeah, for all of the wing nuts and the red hats who hate her because of, well, Obama. Something, 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 Obama, something, Benghazi.
Right.
And at number 10, Michelle Lujan Grisham. She's the governor of New Mexico. She may be another interesting outside-the-box option. And think about it this way. Very often, someone will get nominated to be vice president who isn't necessarily a name brand, who isn't necessarily a household name that we're all talking about. I mean, who could have possibly predicted Tim Kaine four years ago? So, maybe someone who we're not talking about at all, but who is checking all the boxes. So, of course, at number 9, Stacey Abrams is on the list here, too, for good reason. Number 8, another one on my list. I would put her in the top 3, Tammy Duckworth.
Who I is, love her. Mm. She's a great, that's a great choice.
Yes.
Boy, she knows how to play the media game.
The
back and forth with people because mm-hmm. they will, you know, she's just like, how do you argue with her when she's like, look, I left two legs and an arm and a rock, so don't fuck with me.
And she's also got all of this mm-hmm. time as the VA secretary under Barack Obama. So Tammy Duckworth is an excellent choice from just the perspective of good person and vast experience. These are the things I think that American voters are going to be looking for coming up in November in this election, because we've had the exact opposite for all this time. We've had horrible people who have no experience and no competence and no business being anywhere near the White House. So bring in some people who have some, not only, I mean, with Tammy Duckworth, military experience, but she's a person of color. She has experience in the Obama White House. Again, I think she'd be a stellar, stellar choice. Number seven, as you said, Jody, Val Demings is on this list, deservingly so. Val Demings would be a huge troll to Donald Trump. I love the idea of Val Demings for many reasons, primarily, though, because she was one of the managers in the impeachment. Val Demings as a vice presidential running mate will crawl right up Trump's ass, and he mm-hmm. will hate that, hate it, hate it, hate it every second of it. But of course,
and
that
she's
will
got
also
that amazing like police chief thing. About
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
But you just like, she somehow speaks with the authority of the angels. Like, I don't right. know what it is exactly, but like when she opens her mouth, I'm just like, yes, ma'am.
Right
away,
right.
ma'am. You know, like. Mm-hmm.
Well, then also at number six, Catherine Cortez Masto. She was elected to the Senate in 2016 and served as Nevada's attorney general for two terms. Nevada isn't necessarily a contested state anymore. I think it's always possible for the Republicans to take back Nevada, but it's pretty blue at this point. So, but the other thing is, I don't know that geography really even matters anymore. Which is why Kamala Harris to me seems like still a viable choice, even though mm-hmm. she represents a state that the Democrats will easily carry. Because now, isn't it more about personality and experience and brand and so forth? Identity is also a big deal.
Sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of. I mean, if people, Californians are incredibly useful, actually. I've found in discussions with people when you're like, I like Kamala Harris and they're idiots and assholes, and they're like, she's a cop. Yeah. I hate cops. I could never vote for a cop. And California people can turn around and be like, well, you know, as a matter of fact, she actually got rid of the whole trans panic defense and murders in California and just mm-hmm. made, you know, is a strong victims' rights advocate. And
she is.
She did her job
as AG, and that's all that mattered. You know, she didn't do enough of it. Actually, she should have gone after Mnuchin, and she didn't. And probably because she didn't have enough evidence. Yeah. But she was a really good AG for us. I would like her to be AG, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Supreme Court Justice Harris.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of places for Kamala Harris. She's going to be a star of the future in the party, yeah. as is like Pete Buttigieg, for example, is going to be another star
of the
future.
She was so good in that Nicole Wallace interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kamala Harris was. I just felt like she was like the first. I mean, it was the first ray of sunshine that seemed to break out in the whole. I mean, just because everything had been so dire for so many days.
Yeah.
And then she has that wonderful laugh. Mm-hmm. It's so infectious.
She does.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she admitted to watching Tiger King, and it was just like, and she was like, reach out to people, and that's when I got a big lump in my throat.
Yeah.
You know, because she was just like, social distancing does not have to be emotional distancing.
And think also, Joe Biden needs a badass on the ticket.
Yeah.
This is
what I was just about to say. I wrote good cop, bad cop in my notes because.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Stacey Abrams is like, I mean, there's something about her that you just love her. It's the same with like mm-hmm. Bill Clinton. She just inspires. She exists in this nexus of like personality and demeanor that just makes you just like, I just love her.
Yeah. Again, you know? It's like Obama.
But
had
Biden
that
has
great
the
balance.
Same heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has mm-hmm. that same thing. But so I kind of feel like the two of them on the ticket together might just be too lovey and squishy. Like,
interesting. Yeah.
Like, I think that like there needs to be somebody a little bit steely on there. Like Kamala Harris,
yes.
or like Val Demings, because
right.
you know, but Biden's got the love thing covered. Mm-hmm. You know, when he turns on that warm "I hear you, Uncle Joe" thing, There's nobody better.
Right, right.
But so like someone who's got more of a prosecutorial badass demeanor, I think you're right, would be a really good foil for him.
Well, here at number five, Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, and she's been there since 2012. Again, battleground state. She put that if that is an actual thing, and it's important to win Wisconsin, obviously, if she's going to bring Wisconsin, then fine. I just still... I'm unsure whether or not geography is an actual thing anymore. Number four is Elizabeth Warren. And of course, we all know her upsides and what she's all about. She's certainly been tested on the presidential stage. She knows how to hold her own in a debate. She certainly can bring an agenda herself to the ticket. And plus, you know what? We're talking about something that is going to be an immensely important decision from the perspective of 2024, because yes, the way it seems right now, and of course anything can change, anything can happen in politics these days, but it seems like Joe Biden's going to be a one-termer by choice, not by losing in 24 necessarily, but knowing that, it's important to have a vice presidential running mate who can easily step into the presidency. Certainly running again in 2024, possibly against, and you know, Donald Trump can run again in 2024 if he hasn't been indicted and imprisoned. But, you know, there are lots of possibilities. And I tend
you're
to
like,
get,
ha, 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 he can run. I mean, Jody and I are totally stone faced.
Yeah.
Just like, we don't even blink. We're just like, don't even do, I just keep moving.
Like, yeah. My laugh was sort of like, yeah, he can run again in 2024. Yeah. Shit.
And I could take like carpeting tacks and put them through my nipples and twist them. And, you know, like.
Number three, as we were talking about earlier, Gretchen Whitmer is number three on this list. Number two, Amy Klobuchar, another interesting choice, puts Minnesota, I think, safely in the Democratic column. I think she might be a little too overlapped with Biden on the issues. So I think she doesn't bring a whole lot in terms of extending the Biden coalition to the progressive left. But, you know, again, there's lots of considerations here beyond that. And of course, number one is Kamala Harris, as we've been talking about here on the show. And I think Kamala Harris, again, my top choice at this point, for a number of reasons. But I mean, the big game changer, as I said, was apparently the Jim Clyburn endorsement of having an African-American woman on the ticket. So with that,
let me throw a total
that,
curveball.
Okay.
Knowing that, but Sally Giles.
Sally Giles, tell me about
general.
The acting attorney general. Where
is that the wrong name? The one that went to the White House and was like, "There's this Russia thing going on," and they were like, "Yeah,
Sally Yates
is a great idea. I like that idea."
Yeah, where is she politically? Is she liberal, far left,
know,
centrist? She seems a little bit on the moderate end. Just
she's probably
she
moderate.
Was an Obama appointee, but she seems to be very, very smart and common sense and like, I don't know, there was just something really, she has one of those Southern accents that doesn't make you sound like an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
She's from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, she's
she
always.
University of Georgia.
Yeah.
School of Law, done it at the University of Georgia. I'm not seeing her political affiliation, though. Yes, she was appointed by Barack Obama, so most likely she's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sally Giles was my like 10th grade typing teacher.
Sally Yates.
Thinking about it. So Sally Yates is who I meant to say.
She endorsed Biden early.
Yes.
Well, not early. She endorsed him last month. Sally Yates endorsed him last month.
And much like Susan Rice and who else were we talking about? But I mean, at very least, Susan Rice, she would be almost like a troll move where mm-hmm. it's like, fuck you, Trump. That would be. Although Val Demings is the other one. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. But not that.
Susan
see,
Rice
that's the
is
thing.
Such a badass, though. Such a gunslinger, man. I could totally. And I think we've reached a point now. AOC has shown America, or shown
she's
Democrats,
awesome,
that you can fight back against the right-wing spin machine.
Yeah.
Because most people, the right-wingers gun for them, and they run for cover. Or they try to immediately bland out and hide anything that may be, like, quote-unquote, incriminating, if you look at it from the right-wing troll point of view.
Yeah.
But I feel like AOC has shown that, no, you can turn this around and use it as a weapon to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine Susan Rice in that role, and I just get goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the thing with like the difference between Susan Rice and Val Demings is only people that paid attention to the impeachment trial in the Senate know who Val Demings is and don't like her or do like her. Yeah. Whereas Susan Rice is, you know her name already.
Mm-hmm.
Val Demings can come out of sort of nowhere, and the people that like her really like her.
Yeah.
And she's a badass. She was a sheriff. I mean, she's amazing. She's a cop.
Yeah, the other thing about...
Dude, this guy on one of my threads, I unfriended him because I was just like, you're a fucking idiot. He's like some like rock guitar player. That's his, like, you know, when he looks his occupation, and I'm just like, he's like, I hate cops. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to send somebody to break into your house at 3:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the noise, you're going to call me, right? Because cops suck so bad. You know, just like, he's like, what do we do? Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Grow the fuck up. I was like, yes, there are bad cops out there, but there are way more bad guitar players.
Mm, yeah, it's funny.
And then I blocked him.
Well, here's the thing with Susan Rice. Susan Rice will not only become a lightning rod for the Red Hats, but also a lightning rod for some of the Never Trumpers. And I know they represent very few actual Republicans. I think maybe, 4% of the Republican Party right now is disapproving of Donald Trump. But nevertheless, I think we're talking about elections now that are decided by 1% of the vote, maybe even less than 1% of the vote in some cases. So every percentage point certainly matters, and that puts the Never Trumpers in a very important position here in this election. But at the same time, the Never Trumpers, not big fans of Susan Rice. So I don't know if that even matters. Certainly we shouldn't decide on candidates based on what the Never Trumpers are going to say, what the Morning Joe crowd is going to say, and how they're going to react. But that is always kind of a point of consideration. Of course, it's not. You listen to Rachel Bitticoffer, who, by the way, is going to be on the show. On the 22nd, I'm going to talk to Rachel Bitticoffer on the 22nd about her electoral model and everything else. But, you know, she says this is really just all about the energy behind the Democrats right now. It's the negative partisanship. It's the desire to get rid of Donald Trump. It's going to propel Joe Biden to the presidency. Don't get happy. And so it may not even matter who the vice president is, but it's certainly going to help Democratic energy, Democratic enthusiasm, and certainly pushing back against the Trump machine. I think part of it, David, I think you nailed it as far as the good cop, bad cop aspect of all of this. That's going to be an important thing because Joe Biden is, his whole thing has got to be good guy Joe Biden. He's got to maintain good guy Joe Biden until at least November 3rd. And knowing that, though, at the same time, he also has to have someone who is going to not only throw some red meat, but counterattack all of these, you know, the red hats who are going to go bananas between now and the election. By the way, speaking of the election, I want to talk about mail-in voting and Donald Trump here in just 1 second. But before we dig into all of that, I want to tell you, I interviewed one of my favorite people in the world yesterday. Michael McDermott is a musician. He's been around for about 30 years. I think he signed his first record contract in 1991. He's got an incredible repertoire of albums and just one of the greatest American recording artists of our time. And I've played a bunch of his music on the show over this past year, too, since I started playing indie music. And so I had some requests before we, you know, as we were setting up the interview. And I said, can he play? I was asking his manager, I said, can he play some live songs on the show? Can we do this? And of course, the answer was yes. So Michael McDermott performed three songs live on yesterday's interview show. And it was incredible. And so what I want to do is share two of those three songs here today. So we're going to play a full-length song coming out of this commercial rather than just playing a clip. And it's probably going to make everybody cry, especially you, okay. David.
Yeah, I'm going to go out in the yard and smoke some crack or something.
Well, the first song that we're going to play is called Shadow in the Window. It's from his Willow Springs album. Again, this is Michael McDermott. We're going to play that in a second, but we're going to play it in its entirety. It's a song written about Michael's late father and this house that Michael moved into. He talked about it on the show yesterday. He and his wife and his daughter actually moved into the same house that he grew up in. And he was talking about all the ghosts, you know, the quote unquote ghosts in the house and how they had to kind of redecorate it entirely inside, like basically gut the inside to reduce the number of ghosts. Because you can only imagine it having to, after, you know, so many decades, moving back to the house where you grew up in is kind of a surreal, and that's putting it mildly, a surreal event in someone's life, especially if you're in your late 40s, early 50s. So, okay, with that all said, now is the time to help support independent media. That means this show, and you can do it for just a few dollars a month by subscribing to our bonus content on our Patreon page. go to BobSeskaShow.com and pitch in with as little as $1 per month. But if you sign up for $5 or more, you're going to get all kinds of exclusive bonus content, including the postmortem show. That's what we record as soon as this show is over. Once the end credits are done, we just keep on talking. That's the postmortem show. And if you sign up for $10 a month, you're going to get the postmortem show and our Friday After Party podcast, where Kimberly Johnson and I right here in the refrigerator talk about politics, pop culture, sexuality, and our personal lives. Plus, you'll join one of the fastest growing communities of podcast listeners around. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
I took a drive over to his house, though I knew he wasn't there. And he was always standing looking out the window, or sitting in his easy chair. He was always a bit of a mystery. He always seemed so far away. Through and through. and the bagpipes moaned on that cold day. The day we laid him to rest. But all I can say as I drive away, Pop, I'm sorry. There's a shadow in the window that's missing. There's a shadow in the window that's gone. I only want to tell you I love you, and I'm sorry that things went so wrong. And maybe I'll see you in heaven. At least that's how the story goes. Now there's a shadow in the window that's missing, and I'm having a hard time letting go. Hey, Dad!
Reminds me of Springsteen.
The great Michael McDermott right there, and Shadow in the Window from his Willow Springs album, performed live on yesterday's show.
I went and got a sewing needle, and I was just jabbing myself every time I felt the tears start to come. So I'm here, I'm dry.
I got to dedicate that to everyone who can't be with their parents right now, and all the people we've certainly lost throughout this unprecedented disaster here. So I hope you all appreciated that. It's not often that we get super serious here on a comedy show, where often the sounds are this and fart jokes, and we're the fart joke politics show, and so, but every once in a while we have to I think break it down and pay tribute to some of the people that can't be joining us here in the show. So
okay, I'm dry, let's go. Like Jesus Christ, you're like come on tears, come on. You're like coaxing them out of my tear ducts, like little, yeah. It's just like, no, I'm fine.
You have to go and you have to support our independent recording artists. Michael McDermott right there. One of his stories that he told on yesterday's show is his very first album. He got this huge record deal. He was heralded as the next big singer-songwriter when the album was coming out. And when it finally did, guess what dropped the following week? Nirvana's Nevermind. And so
Nirvana killed a lot of bands.
Yes, the whole world became about grunge at that point. So, you know, we Michael and I spoke yesterday about just the crazy timing of the recording industry. And I mentioned Big Star, one of the stories about the great 70s band Big Star, an incredibly talented group of musicians and songwriters who just couldn't catch a break with their timing. Some of the most influential songs, influential albums, I think, especially their first two albums. And yet the timing kept them from becoming the household names they should have been. And I can't help but to think, and this is the other thing that gets me choked up.
There are so many stories, yeah. Bob. I mean, so many of my friends, incredibly talented people, mm-hmm. who just didn't quite hit the zeitgeist, yeah. at the time that it, mm-hmm. shifted.
Yep.
And it just forces.
My sister's band.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes. I mean, your sister. Holy shit, should have been performing on the Grammys, during the, mm-hmm. Oscars. Mm-hmm. One of the most beautiful voices I have ever, ever heard in my entire life. And again, it chokes me up because I feel like there is so much wonderful talent out there. Michael McDermott, certainly Kerry Hamilton, who just...
Me.
David Ferguson.
The thing is, you know, we got really close in my band, the Go Figures, back in the early 90s. I mean, we were talking, you know, having dinner with Sony.
Yeah.
Not realizing that they'd bill you for it later when they did sign you, but everything has to line up. You get signed to a record label, and that's just the beginning of the battle.
Absolutely.
You have to convince everyone in the promotions department to, you know, push you to radio, and then the radio people have to like you, and it just is this whole chain of like ass kissing and glad handing, and and it's just like it only takes a couple people along the way to be like, I don't really like this band, I don't feel it,
right?
And then everything that you've poured into your album, all of the work, all of the touring, all of the passion, all of the blood and sweat and tears is just like for nothing.
Yep. Bad timing was such a big chunk of yesterday's show. And I told him the story about how I was commissioned to do an album cover for Yes, which was still one of my all-time favorite bands. I mean, a top five favorite band for me, maybe if not my all-time favorite band or second all-time favorite band. So I got this opportunity to do one of their album covers, which is a big fucking deal. I mean, I was daunted because I was replacing Roger Dean, who was doing all their album covers, or most of them. And so it was intimidating, but I still got to do it. And it was a gig of a lifetime. And then I did it, and I was okay with the results. I wasn't thrilled with what turned out, but the album is fantastic. Here's the bad timing aspect of it. You know when the album was set to be released? You know the release date for the Yes Magnification album? September
9/11.
September 11, 2001.
That Tuesday is the first big fall, like back to school Tuesday, and it's typically, like, every year, a big record company release day. Garbage's album came out that day.
Right.
What's that Mariah Carey vehicle that was a total flop?
Oh,
the
film. Glitter, yeah.
That was released on 9/11 along with the soundtrack. I mean, there was it used to be that record companies, now they do it on Fridays, but Tuesday used to be the big day of the week that everybody would release their new records. And that particular Tuesday, so many new releases were lined up for the fall, and it just was like... terrible timing.
Mm-hmm. Bad timing. Yeah, I mean, the worst possible timing ever. Let's talk about coronavirus, because, yeah, why not?
So it turns out the majority of the New York City cases are of European origin.
Yes.
Trump keeps banging on about how I closed the country to China. Fuck. I did. And it's just like, well, you know what? You didn't because you like your classy white Norwegian travelers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And but... it's just like, well, that's, see,
that,
where they,
that's going to become the hinge in, that Trump swings his whole like dick around when it comes to his response to the coronavirus. It's all about China.
Actual penis.
Yeah, sorry.
It's so small you can't see it, David. It's not, you can't even visualize it. It's so tinny, itty bitty.
It is really teeny tiny. But here's the thing. What he should have been doing was preparing equipment, preparing how we were going to handle all of this, going back to November, which is the first time that the intelligence community warned Trump of the coronavirus. And then on top of the intelligence community warnings in, again, November, there were two Peter Navarro memos, one in January, one in February, predicting, forecasting 1 to 2 million American deaths. And Trump still did nothing. He was still in late February talking about a new hoax. Yeah, right.
I mean, he only wants to do things that he gets to pose in front of cameras and talk and run his mouth. So, like, moving ventilators and deploying hospital materiel is just not glamorous and not TV. So it's like, I don't know if you guys remember, did you ever watch The Truth or Dare, the Madonna movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Years ago, yeah.
There's that moment when Warren Beatty just completely flips out, where he's just like, you know, why do anything if it's not on camera?
Yeah.
You know, because he's just, it's intrusive. And I think he was actually trying to have a conversation, and he just did what any normal person would do, be like, can we just turn off the cameras for a minute? But it's like, Trump doesn't want to do anything unless it's on camera.
Oh, no, no, absolutely not. If it doesn't happen on camera, it doesn't really happen. That's the thing.
And so all that of hard work of presidenting, of actually allocating resources and restocking the empty shelves. That's what That was when the first time I've really actually scared Ben and the cats screaming at the television.
I can only imagine.
In his press conference when he said, the last administration, empty shelves. They left us empty shelves. And I'm just like, you've had 3 fucking years to fill the shelves.
Yeah, you know what he said? He said, the cupboard was bare. You remember that phrase? Cupboard is bare. Yes, we remember it. What?
He's
what
had
does that
3 even matter?
Years
to fill the mm-hmm. fucking shelves.
Yeah. I know. 3 years. I mean, that's the thing. He wants his stupid, naive fucking red hats to believe all of this bullshit. Like, he couldn't have prepared in the 3 years that he had been president up to that point. So it's all about Barack Obama. It's all his fault. But in the meantime, here's the other thing that he's in the process of doing. And I want to get to the mail-in ballot thing here before we wrap up the show. So please don't let me finish the show without talking about mail-in balloting. But Trump yesterday said this. He did this whole bit again with the death toll. He said, if we can stay substantially under 100,000 American deaths, which was the original projection, I think we did a very good job. Mm-mm. He pulled that trick again.
It's according to the NCOVE 2019 website, which is sometimes ahead of Johns Hopkins, sometimes behind, so they're about the same.
Yeah.
According to them, as of right now, we have 16,114 deaths in the United States. 26,589 have recovered so far.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous.
4,000 more than the death toll from
Barack
H1N1, H1N1, right?
Yep.
In 2009. Yeah.
How many SARS and MRSA victims did we have? Very little, and those were airborne coronaviruses.
That's right. And the other thing with the H1N1 outbreak in 2009 was mm-hmm. the death toll of 12,000, give or take, was mm-hmm. over the span of a year, I think. It was either a 6 months or a year-long span.
What was a year at least till we had a vaccine.
Right, right. And so compare that to the deaths due to COVID-19
right.
over 60 days. So we're now 4,000 deaths beyond the death toll from H1N1. But Donald Trump will never mention that. All he'll do is, whenever he mentions H1N1, he's going to take a stab at Joe Biden, because Joe Biden mm-hmm. once said N1, H1. Like I just said, you know what I just said? And I'm perfectly lucid. I'm not even 50 years old yet. And I said H1, H1. That's what I just called mm-hmm. it. And heaven forbid Joe Biden say N1, H1. But that's, you know, that's his thing. He's got to sideline everybody. But meanwhile, Dr. Fauci has reduced the estimated death toll to about 60,000, which is another thing Trump is bragging about now. And there's nothing to brag about. 60,000.
Right. Especially when he's standing there telling people, exactly, like, Dr. Fauci speaks and then Trump contradicts him.
Right.
And it's just back and forth. It's like, mm-hmm. he's like, wear a mask. And Trump's like, you can wear a mask. It's a, what did he keep saying the other day? He was an individual. What did he say? It was... Voluntary. You know, it's
industry.
A mask. It's voluntary. I'm just like, oh, fuck. That's just my least favorite is the sort of duckish honking sound that he makes.
Well, I mean, Trump is going to declare victory if it's 60,000 deaths. I mean, that's the psychotic, ghoulish thing that we're looking mm-hmm. at right now. There is no victory in presiding over 60,000 American deaths. There's no victory in presiding over 6,000 because it's just not even a consideration other than in Trump world, where it's all about Donald Trump. And now he's going after the World Health Organization. This is becoming a serious thing where he's threatening to pull funding from the WHO in the middle of a pandemic because their numbers are making Trump look bad.
This is kind of when, you know, we need to tackle our quarterback and put him on the sidelines. Somebody needs to step in. Where are the fucking grown-ups in the room? It's just like, do you understand? He is directly contributing to further and greater numbers of dead.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's like, Iran has applied to, I think, I can't even remember now if it's like the World Monetary Fund but they're, you know, asking for a couple $1 billion. Not a huge amount, really, mm-hmm. Compared to some of the money that we suck up. But, you know, they just to help bury the dead, you know, and try to contain the raging outbreak they've got going. And Trump's trying to block it.
Every word out of every Democrat's mouth when it comes to reacting to Trump and everything that he's doing or not doing. I mean, it's a lot of not doing things. Should revolve around the word incompetence and waiting 60 days to respond to this. Maybe even now, since we're talking about the first intelligence reports coming down in November.
This is so far beyond incompetence, though. It's malevolence. Like, yeah. I mean, this is making incompetence. Incompetence is static cling. This is a nuclear explosion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, it's just, like, so far above and beyond incompetence because it's, like, this, he's just, because everything has exponential effects when you're that powerful and sends cartwheeling fireballs of failure out in all directions.
Well, I want to do one last commercial break right here, and we're going to play one more full-length song from Michael McDermott. This is his protest song from his brand new album, What in the World. It's due out on June 5th. He wrote this song. It's a protest song against Donald Trump and everything that's going on right now. And so we're going to do that, but first we're going to do a quick word from Bubble Genius, and then what's that? What? What?
Don't forget mail-in ballots.
Yeah, mail-in ballots.
Mail-in ballots. Yes. When we come back, we're going to talk about mail-in ballots. Absolutely. Right after these words.
You're welcome.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska. Yeah, you're looking like a car wreck, dealing with a stack deck. Peter's robbing Paul and the drinking with your rent check. It's a new world. Along the border, kids in cages, executive order, welfare for billionaires, people hungry everywhere, stop and frisk, socialist, you ain't going anywhere, think it's time we take a good look in the mirror, what in the world is happening here? You got your white flag, dime bag, so-called day drag, effigies and refugees, a journalistic toe tag, you're drunk on tragedy. Dollar short, war report, the madness and the malady. Bullets in a black dress. Everything is such a mess. It's kinda like white noise. James Joyce, de-stress. I can hear the horses of Paul Revere. What in the world is happening here? I say hey. Freedom without liberty, man, it doesn't sit right. Clean coal fires, climate change deniers. Head full of gasoline, fist full of fire. New low Jim Crow, plead the fifth, you don't know. It's not too hard to see that the president's a criminal. Ionized Cody, wipe away your tear. Maybe it's the government or just your ADHD. Oxy and Adderall, the redneck and the radical. Good versus evil, these days it's almost biblical. World full of strangers, echo chambers, lobbyists and rattlesnakes of truth.
ass, low class, badass, knock around guy who don't give a rat's ass. Affiliated, castrated, migrated, segregated, subterranean, neo-Nazi, white trash, wages in a flat line, coughing in a coal mine, gaslit, half-witted, feels like we're out of time. Senators and congressmen, lend me your ears!
McDermott.
That rocks.
What in the world? That was
really,
fucking awesome.
Really good lyrics.
Yeah.
Those are amazing lyrics. I was really expecting to not enjoy that nearly as much as I did. Because when a lot of times when people, I mean, you're going up against one of the greatest of all time when you're talking about Bob Dylan. So right. I was like, well, that's ambitious, but he nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely
he did.
Nailed
he
it.
Very Bob Dylan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the studio version of that was the live version from my show yesterday, which still kind of blows me away. The studio version comes out, album of the same name, What in the World, on June 5. Link in the description for Michael McDermott to support all of his music. And we're going to do more of that. I'm going to bring in, I'm already talking to Seth Adam. I'm going to have Seth Adam in to talk about politics and music and all kinds of fun things, but also to perform some songs too, and a whole lot more. I think that we're going to make this sort of a regular thing to mix throughout all of the interview shows. The test was successful, I think. Michael was just outstanding. Okay, so Trump's jihad against mail-in voting. This is going to be an important part of his electoral strategy to try to get rid of mail-in voting, or at the very least to try to demonize it to the point that if there is mail-in voting on November 3rd, that he could use that as an excuse to contest the results or to at least claim some sort of mail-in voting fraud that he will take to court to prevent the certification of the vote totals. That's the possibility. That's one.
Well, then that's the entire state of Portland, the entire state of Washington, the entire state of Utah.
Is Portland a state now?
I'm sorry, Oregon, sorry. Brain fart. The entire... Hi, everybody else in Oregon. The entire state of Oregon, Washington, and Utah. That's all they do.
Right, right.
And I think, yeah. Doesn't he want Utah's votes?
Well, I also think Florida is working on getting mail-in voting set up, but I don't think they're going to be ready in time, or at least that's what they're saying now, to at least do it in a widespread way. So there will be some in-person voting, certainly on November 3rd, irrespective of where we are with the virus. But at the same time, I'm worried that this mail-in voting, while being absolutely necessary, will also become the catalyst for Donald Trump to pull some electoral shenanigans. Now, I don't know if he's going to be successful or not, but there's the possibility, right?
I don't think he will because he votes by mail.
Yes, right. And he was asked about that yesterday, and he said this. He said, I think mail-in voting is horrible. It's corrupt. And then a reporter, I forget who, said, you voted by mail in Florida's election last month, didn't you? And then Trump said, sure, I can vote by
you
mail.
Don't forget, the military tends to vote Republican, and most of the people that aren't in the country that are in the military are voting by mail. So they're going to deny soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines the right to vote? I don't think so. That's not going to go over too well.
Yeah. Well, he pulled this.
And I was going to say, I don't care if I have to crawl over broken glass. I will cast a vote in November.
Same here.
Yeah.
God. Even if I have to be in line like those people in Wisconsin, like risking, it would be worth it to get this man out of office to risk getting COVID-19 to stand in line to vote. Not encouraging people to, please observe responsible social distancing. Mm-hmm. But if it comes down to it, I will crawl on my teeth if I have to go vote against this man.
With Wisconsin and Tuesday's vote, in 2016, their primary turnout was like 66%. Uh-huh. And that's with no shenanigans and no pandemic. It was still over 50% on Tuesday.
In spite of the weather, in spite of the pandemic, in spite of out of 180 polling stations, only five being open in Milwaukee, people went out to vote because they were pissed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It should have been a lot lower. You'd think it would have been a lot lower than that. But I'm disgusted and proud of Wisconsinites for getting out and voting. And there will be an uptick in the people that die from this disease because they went out on Tuesday to vote.
Right, right. That's an incredible number. More than 50% turnout.
It was over 50%, which is not great turnout normally, but for what they had to go through to do it, absolutely. I was looking at their... it was one of the Wisconsin papers.
Well, I hope what happens is that state Supreme Court candidate, the Republican, ends up losing, the one that Donald Trump ended up endorsing.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, because that'll be funny. After all of this, bending over backwards to try to protect him, he ends up still losing. But, I mean, here's another indication of what could happen in November. And, again, this plays to Rachel Bitticoffer's model. Just the absolute craving to get rid of Donald Trump. I think that is so energizing people right now. And certainly there can be things that sidetrack all of that. But it seems like it's still alive. It seems like even though there has been this shock to the system with COVID-19, it still seems like that's not going to keep people's enthusiasm level down for, getting rid of Donald Trump. So this is all positive news. Don't get happy, of course, is the rule.
Don't get happy.
But I will vote in a hazmat suit if I have to.
Yeah.
And we all have time now to get that
condom.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
We have time. Amazon will eventually deliver it before November.
Exactly right. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing with today's show. We've been having problems with our ISDN line. We use a certain platform for our ISDN line. Well, it's been connecting us or disconnecting us randomly during every single show. Yesterday with Michael McDermott, disconnected twice. Thank God the songs weren't interrupted yesterday.
Yeah.
But on today's show, it's disconnected us twice. So I think that may be a thing now. Every show gets, but what it does is, it puts us all off balance. So it's always fun to do a show where I'm just like, is it going to be interrupted? I don't know. I'm like, it's like watching Donald Trump talk during his Trump shows. You just feel that unease, right?
A drunk crossing an icy street.
A monkey with a machine gun. It's kind of like that, too. All right. Jody Hamilton's podcast is called From the Bunker. You can be found at from-the-bunker.com. Also, every place you get your podcasts and at sexyliberal.com with all of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network shows. Make sure to give 5-star ratings and reviews for all of your favorite Sexy Liberal programs. And meanwhile, David Ferguson can be found at patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. You have any new updates over there? What's going on the T-Rex Report, David?
I have got I'm going to do a part two of my conversation with English or Irish David Ferguson, the comedian. And trying to get Monica McLemore back, the doctor of nursing who talks about racial disparities and outcomes, because I wanted to talk about the racial component now to who's dying of COVID.
I see.
That's going to be a really fun laugh-a-minute show.
Farts, like, it'll be falling down, there'll be banana peels everywhere, it'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some polling numbers that'll make you happy, even though you shouldn't get happy. But this is all mostly good news for Democrats, mostly good news for freedom-loving people all across the country, as opposed to, the people who love autocracy, who want to change the government into some sort of weird oligarchy autocracy with Donald Trump at the top. That's what they're asking for. That's what the
stakes are. But those are the same people who believe that germs listen to...
It just disconnected. The thing just disconnected in the middle of the end theme now, so I lost David and Jody. I'm rebooting it as the show wraps up. We'll see if they ever come back. All right, have a good weekend, folks. After party on Friday with Kimberly Johnson on our Patreon page. Don't miss it. Take care. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.